Blog Talk Radio.
Another Monday, another week in the books. Welcome to Obey the Puck. I am your host, Dan Calcito.
Just going regular.
The above average comedian.
Nice.
Thank you. With me as always, Japping in the background.
Angry Spatula. Bringing the truth.
What?
I don't know. I was just trying that one out.
Sorry. I choked on the sweet air of freedom. Oh.
So many do.
We have a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about a little later on. We're going to save the NHL BS for later because I call it BS this week because in a way they could have looked good. Tortorella, the worst coach ever in NHL history, based on his freaking attitude, made the NHL look like crap. And we're going to talk about underwear design. In fact, we're going to start this off with something that had me cracking up because this could go really, really good, really, 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 really bad.
Yeah.
First of all, we've mentioned the team a bunch of times before, and they seem to be a team that will do not anything, but do a lot to get people to come to the games. ECHL Bakersfield Condors.
Yep.
On April 13th, if you're in the Bakersfield, California area, on April 13th at 4 p.m. for the team's first ever Undie Sunday. You want to elaborate on that one for me?
They're
apparently
following the blueprint of the teddy bear toss, except replace the teddy bears with clean underwear. They're focusing on
what
the clean. They're trying to get that. So, you know, if you never made it to a Tom Jones concert, but you feel like you really just need to throw underwear at people or towards a playing surface of some kind, there you go. April 13th in Bakersfield.
So, I mean, what, the first goal is scored, everybody's going to chuck underwear onto the...
Yep.
Why?
Why not?
That's not okay.
They operate under the "there's no such thing as bad publicity" and
it's not bad.
I pretty much agree with them.
Oh, I know. I don't see a problem with it. I'm just saying, is there a reason with that? Is it for testicular and cervical cancer?
I don't think so. That would be kind of fitting, but
it would fit well.
It would
being
fit
in
well,
your underwear,
and others
anyway.
Wouldn't. Others wouldn't fit. Some would be too big. Some too small.
No comment. I just thought that was something that had me cracking up, because...
Well, I like that their marketing team has some new ideas.
I never heard of that before in my life, ever.
You know, the guy from Bakersfield winds up going to another team, and they have the same meeting they have at the beginning of every season. Well, what can we do to bring people in? Well, we can have a puck night, and we can have a bobblehead.
Just have a stripper night.
And the guy from Bakersfield is over in the corner chuckling to himself, like, amateurs.
Underwear night, bitch. What do you mean? Just have them take their underwear off. Come on. Will that work? Is that something you bring your kids to?
Why not?
I guess so. So, it is, as I said, it is following the teddy bear toss thing where...
Well, just the rules of a teddy bear toss. I don't know about the charity part.
Well, yeah, I forgot the charity part. But what I'm saying is after the first goal, woo-hoo!
The home team goal. If the other team scores all the goals, you just got to hold all your underwear. So, you know, there's that.
Check something else.
Throw your beer in the time-honored hockey tradition if your team is shut out or plays really badly.
I think that's a wonderful idea. All right, so, yeah, it is pronounced the Undie Sunday, and it's against Las Vegas, and it's replacing the December 7th game that was canceled.
Okay.
Where they had the MMA guy.
Where they did the cool thing where they had their fans come out and,
yeah.
and just enjoy practice and an autograph session. That's cool.
this is gotta be yes. Okay, so it's gonna be donated to the homeless.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, good. Bras,
I was really hoping there just wasn't a pervert in the office.
can't. Bras, boxers, briefs, long johns, any type of donation will be gladly accepted. It's gonna be donated to those in need. Undergarments will fly better if in packaging. And again, this is for the season ticket holders who had tickets to the December 7th game, and it's switching them out.
So now you get to go to another game, but you have to throw underwear onto the ice. So.
Check this out. Every game is something. January 17th is Cowboy Hat Giveaway.
Ooh, I need a cowboy hat.
Who doesn't in Bakersfield?
I guess maybe cowboys are popular in Bakersfield. I have no idea. They've been around a really long time. I know nothing about Bakersfield.
I've heard of Bakersfield before in some sort of movie or TV show, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. I just, hockey-wise, they've had a team for quite some time.
But. Sunday, January 19th versus the Ontario Reign.
That's best logo in the ECHL.
What does it look like?
It's the cool dragon.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's raining fire down on. It's skate around with the team night, as I guess they could call it. After the game, you stay, you get to skate with the team after the game.
Yeah.
Bring your own skates or rent them for $5. Better Bakersfield night? Anybody with a B grade on their report card, average or better, gets a half price ticket. So this, I've never seen that much on a minor league level.
Oh, well.
Almost most games is a do this night. I like tip a condor night.
Oh, well, yeah, usually teams do something like that where the guys serve at a restaurant and all the money goes to a charity of their choice. I've heard of that one before.
This is interesting. The Tip of Condor night returns to the Firehouse restaurant. The Condor's players become waiters and wait you, and you tip them. And whatever, all the tips automatically go towards that.
That's what I just said.
You said that?
Yes, I did.
You wouldn't pay attention because I was reading it.
Yeah, I noticed it.
We're going to go back now. Did you really say all that?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Good night, folks. It's been a long day. I virtually have no. We're down to one bathroom now. Virtually. Well.
Literally.
There you go.
Yes. So you get to use it, and that's what it actually means.
Are you in reference to the Warriors? Forget it. That reference is past everybody. Oh, man.
Except for the one scandal fan out there. Die Hard. Not the TV show.
I get it.
The band.
I get it. They're talking to me.
It's an MST moment. The one guy in the audience is like, oh, my God, they're in my head.
They're talking to me.
Everyone else is like, what the hell are they talking about?
Some OHL news and tidbits that you wanted to go over.
Oh, I just grabbed that one because I kept trying to figure out. I couldn't get the final stats, but Kelowna is just tearing up the Western Hockey League. They just ended a 16-game win streak, and they've only lost 5 on the season. I'd really like to watch some junior hockey. That would be great if the CHL could get it together and have some sort of internet package. available to...
Well, they air them all over Canada, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, all the time, any game that's on locally gets an airing, right?
Yeah, it's hockey in Canada. You think that's not on the TV?
Why don't we live in Canada?
I don't know.
Smoke pot and watch hockey all day.
I just don't know, exactly.
And eating Timbits.
It's Nirvana. It's the perfect place.
Plus, if Genesis reunites again, they're definitely going to play Canada.
Well, yeah.
Swarm over to Canada.
And, you know, free healthcare. So there you go.
Free healthcare. whatever about the healthcare. I thought about donuts and hockey. And beer. And Trish Stratus.
Well, there you go.
That's all knowing.
That's all knowing.
She's unfortunately a Maple Leaf fan.
That's okay.
Yeah, okay.
That's probably just, you know, she's born near enough there that she got sucked into the Leafs vortex.
Hey, that's where she grew up.
Exactly, that's what I mean. She doesn't know any better. She just...
Well, I don't know any better.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
it happens.
Falling into that one there.
It happens to good people.
What? London Knights, how are they doing this year?
Pretty good.
I only asked because that's where your buddy...
Mr. Hunter went.
He probably wanted to get away from McPhee.
Oh, yeah.
How do you feel about McPhee? Get that out on air, please.
I don't like George McPhee.
George McPhee is the owner of the Washington Capitals.
No, he's the GM of
he's
the
GM of the Capitals? Who's the owner?
Leontis.
That's right. The name I can never pronounce when I read it.
George McPhee has been the Caps GM for way too long, and it's time to get someone else. I really hope someone else would like that job because... They need something. The last two games have just been pathetic.
Can you clean up the exact phrase you said to me before we went on the air? I'll clean up for you. I don't give an F until McPhee is replaced.
Yeah, I've reached boycott level. I'm so fed up with this team. It's so...
Sound like a Philly fan.
It's so annoying to see Ovechkin's prime years just...
That's true.
Ticking
you know,
by and Backstrom, and, you know, it's really frustrating.
See, I didn't even think of that. I didn't even think of that prospect of you have a guy who's in the prime of his career and is going to be wasted with no cups, no, very little chance. I never even thought of that. That sucks. Put him on the Penguins.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
That's where old Caps go to get their cup. So
that's true.
It is.
They either go to Philly and fail again, or...
Yeah, if they want a cup, they go to Pittsburgh.
Right over to Pittsburgh. Speaking of the Penguins, by the way, Cindy Crosby was named captain of Team Canada.
No!
And the sky is blue and the water is wet.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I mean, that's a given.
Moving on.
How can you not make the guy who, you know, scored the game-winning goal, the gold-winning goal, the captain. I mean, that's pretty,
you know,
that's pretty cut and dry.
I was hoping just out of spite that because he would have been the first time, he is the first ever back-to-back Canadian.
Oh, was he captain
for the
games that were in Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he's the first ever back-to-back Team Canada.
That's pretty impressive because Canada is always loaded for the Olympics. And I can't say I disagree. He's the best player in the world.
Just out of spite, I was hoping he would fail.
Well, you can still, you know, hope and spite, but you got to give the guy his props.
I do give his props, but, and I was thinking about this today, as much as we talk, I mean, you hate him, I hate him. Do you think other players love the fact that he is such a punk ass? So they can use that.
I think it gives them pause that at least there is some flaw because there doesn't seem to be one on the ice.
No, but
other than the crying about calls and complaining about things and being, you know, in certain people's eyes a whiner, a complainer. But other than that, because you can't fault the game, so
so
everyone I think kind of picks up the well, he's just annoying, you know, and goes with that.
But what I meant was, do you think other players use that as a boost? Like, oh, I'm going to outplay this son of a gun tonight.
Oh, sure. I think everybody brings their game up to try to match him when he's on the ice.
In the middle of
got to, because if you're not playing your A game against him, it's going to be ugly.
In the middle of the Flyers' downswing, which is not, there's not really an up, a strong upswing. It's kind of a climb, but we still beat the Penguins. It's like, I don't know how they did that. They pulled that one out of their butt, they locked him down.
There are certain teams that just match up really well, and it never matters what the record is. The Caps, as bad as they've been playing, played a really good game against the Penguins, but every time they made a mistake, the Penguins capitalized on it. Every single time, and that's why they're the, leading in the East, because that's the kind of team they are. There's only two of those teams in the East, so.
Back to the junior/minor league chat. It looks like Timor beat Jane Cherry.
Yeah,
I don't believe it.
I always forget about that. That's kind of the All-Star game.
Explain it to some listeners who don't know.
For the Canadian Hockey League, so it's the three junior leagues. Bobby Orr and Don Cherry each, I guess the guys are voted to a pool, and then Bobby Orr and Don Cherry just pick their team out of who's available, and then the kids play each other. And it's basically the Canadian Hockey League All-Star game. They take a break in pretty much the middle of the season and play it. It carries some weight. I don't know how long they've been doing that format. I remember it for quite a few years now.
I was going to say, I remember catching one late last year, and it was like a really exciting game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially at that age. It's like, damn.
That's why outside of being able to see junior hockey on TV, I'd love to go to a junior game because those kids are playing hard every night because they know, especially at that it's not an all-star game, but it is an all-star game. They know that there are scouts in the arena every single night,
mm-hmm.
grading them, paying attention to every little thing. So they play their guts out as much as they possibly can. And that's why a lot of those guys have a little trouble transitioning to the NHL because they've been playing real hard for 2 and 3 years where they don't take a night off. And then you get to the NHL and you can do that, but usually you're going to hit, you're going to hit the wall at 50 or 60 games because that's as many as you play in juniors.
Yeah.
And you can't quite finish out that 82 game season in the NHL. Now there's exceptions to that, but there are a lot of the younger kids seem to hit the wall late because they don't know how to kind of take the game down a little bit. And also they're not getting the minutes they used to get, but you got to learn to play as a pro.
Something I wanted to bring up, I don't know if you read this article. I could tell by the look on your face that you didn't. It looked based on the picture. And I'm posting this, by the way, follow us on Twitter. I always forget to do this. I'll get my intro right eventually, Dean, I'm sorry. Follow us on Twitter, Obey Puck Show, or facebook.com/groups/Obey Puck, Obey the Puck. I'm checking it live and updating it as we do the show and all the everything we're talking about gets posted. So if you're listening live or later on, you can follow along and see what we're talking about. This I read, can they do that? I don't know what Czech league this was. Can you tell by looking at the name of the?
No, it says in the article. HK Mav?
I don't know. So the game, at the point of the game that this happened, it was already 8-3.
Mm-hmm.
Pavel, I guess that's McCulloch,
mm-hmm.
Is a forward for that team, Kurnov, I'll say. Against Kravina on Saturday, he had to be the goalie. And not because he wanted to, but because he was the one they picked. or his teams would have felt like would have had sanctions and fines and all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
And he did it without wearing pads.
Yikes.
All he had was the mask, the blocker, and the mitt. like I said, at the point this happened, it was already 8-3. Here's what happened. The goaltender that opened the game tried to get in a fight when there was a team thing going on. right at the first period. So the backup goalie entered the game. They got to the third period. It's 8-3. After the eighth goal, he started. Apparently, a goalie cannot get involved because they automatically get switched out.
Oh,
that's what I get by reading this.
Mm-hmm.
The backup goalie was, how would you pronounce it? Was that, would it be Muzik? Muzik? I'm not sure.
Muzik?
Sorry. Anybody wants to correct me later, please do. You have no problem usually. So he got in a fight. He gets thrown out. So the referees were like, we're going to forfeit. No, the officials said, if they forfeit, you'd get hit with fines and certain penalties that your team would pay out right for. So you have to pick somebody to go in the goal and finish the game. What I don't understand is why they didn't let them use pads. It's not in the article. It doesn't say, well, the reason why he wasn't allowed to use pads.
Out of cruelty? That's ridiculous, other than it would have been a delay because he would have had to put the pads on.
And he pitched a shutout with 11 minutes.
Well, yeah, I'm sure the other team, wasn't shooting at him all that hard.
There wasn't another goal scored in the game. They kind of took it easy on him. McCallick called the situation a comedy, especially the fact that the officials would not let him gear up.
Well, it's a safety thing. I mean,
Look at Stolarz, junior Flyers prospect, got skated into Saturday, and he had 55 stitches on his leg, almost damn near killed him.
Yeah.
How? Not to mention skates, but just taking normal shots without pads at the leg. Well, just cut the leg off. I mean, that's what it feels like. I've been interesting to see if there is a follow up to this because I don't understand as a referee how you can let no, get in there. No, F you, I'm going to put some pads on.
I'm guessing they had money on the game.
I wouldn't put it above it. There's no way. There's no way I'd let that go. 32 years old being told, no, you can't put pads on. Bye. See you. Guess what? Guess what, coach? You're paying for it. I'm out of here.
At that point, I'm taping socks on.
Socks?
Socks, water bottle.
The
you
water bottle, yeah.
I'm taping stuff to arms, legs, chest, everywhere.
But I was reading this, and I wanted, like I said, I wanted to bring it up during the show because I was hoping maybe you've heard of a situation like that before.
Oh, I've heard of lots of the third-string goaltender getting the call kind of thing, but never someone not allowed to have the proper equipment on.
Well, what happened to the Caps a couple weeks ago when they were having the issue before they called Groovy up? When Newby went down, the guy who does the video for the team was called up to be the backup goalie.
Yeah, he's been third string a number of times.
Yeah.
He's kind of there. If somebody can't get from Hershey, I mean, if it happens late, you know, if it happens in warm-ups, getting from Hershey to Washington takes 3 hours.
Yeah, it's not happening.
If traffic's working with you. So it's not happening right away.
If traffic's working. So he's doing video for the game as the game's going on, and he's dressed to the nines in full goalie gear just in case.
Yep.
I mean, that's great. But the fact that they didn't let him shoot, I don't understand how that's allowed. That's just wrong. I'm going to keep an eye on the site to see if I get an update on why that was allowed to happen. Cause I mean, it's free country, right?
The Czech Republic? Yes. Now.
Now. Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, it's not like we kill you if you don't put on.
The generic Russian guy shows up?
That wasn't Russian. That was just generic.
Generic Eastern European guy shows up?
Pretty
much. Okay.
You don't put. I hate you. I don't hear you doing voices over here.
I can't do voices.
So shut up then!
So I don't.
You don't get to comment on it either. somebody wants to comment it on, you know, Twitter, trust me, they will. I don't need your help. You've seen it. One last, I'm going to get you after the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Let me be tough. One last thing before we could talk about the NHL. I don't have the article anymore, but Glen Falls. Adirondack Phantoms right now play in Glen Falls. 4.5 years ago, Phil Brooks, forgot his name. It's the Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
They bought the Phantoms from Comcast, Petsacor, and Schneider, and they bought it without a home because the same year they happened to sell the Phantoms, they were also tearing down the Spectrum.
Right. Well, they were gonna have a home.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Well, they were trying to get a home built in
the arena in Lehigh Valley, which is finally ready to open for next season, was in the plans back then, but it ran into, who knows, local funding
public
issues.
And
local,
which, funding, all kinds of stuff.
Things happen in smaller towns like that. Well, things happen in big towns too, but so they didn't have any, they had a team, but they didn't have anywhere to put it.
Adirondack has a history of, Glen Falls, pardon me, New York, but the Adirondack, there's been the Adirondack Red Wings.
Red Wings, Frostbite.
River Rats.
No, the River Rats is Albany, and do not confuse the two. People will
so get I did confuse the two.
You.
I apologize to Glen Falls, New York, for you losing your team. But the last team was the Red Wings, where they won.
No, the last team was the Frostbite.
Which team won the four collar cups?
Red Wings.
The Red Wings did win the four collar cups. All right, so I was half right.
It's a town of 7,000 people, roughly. The arena seats 4,000. Well, more than 4,000 in the standing room, and they regularly were packing that arena, certainly for the Red Wings. They were way beyond capacity for the Red Wings because the Red Wings were a dynasty in the AHL in the mid to late 80s.
Barry Melrose played on that team.
Yeah, and Melrose was the guy who bought in a United Hockey League team to that was the Frostbite. They didn't last.
Rob and Jim Brooks. I got the article, everyone.
Oh, good. Phantoms owners. The Phantoms owners.
Phantoms owners.
You just yell the name. I was putting it into context.
That's what you're here for.
Thank you.
No problem. So there is a bit of a conundrum, the town of Glen Falls, because I guess it's kind of sad. I'm thrilled the Phantoms are coming back to the Philly area.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing in Allentown, and they'll be officially the Lehigh Valley Phantoms starting next season.
Right.
I'm kind of sad because they've taken the fan base from the Red Wings and the other teams that have been in Adirondack and built up their own fan base and leaving it behind. I read in the article that the first game, which it was real close to season time, they got this all together within a couple months.
Right, yeah, because of what had happened in Lehigh Valley. And
like it was like, where do we go? Hey, we're looking. Now, Adirondack, I don't know the names, but the Glen Falls went into it, like the mayor and everything, went into it as a, this is just temporary, we know you're going to leave eventually, but we want to prove.
Yeah, it was one of those rare times where two sides agreed, hey, this could work for both of us. You guys need a place to put a team. We've got a fan base here, and we've got a fan base that wants to prove itself to the AHL because they were part of the AHL and they haven't been for a number of years and they believe they belong, you know, they want to be back in the league. They love the AHL, they love the game, and so, you know, it's one of those rare things where the two sides, it worked out for both sides.
Well, that first game the Phantoms played, the capacity is, I have it here, it's in here, the capacity is 40, it's around 4,800.
Mm-hmm.
They had 5,411 the first game.
Sure.
They weren't going to have a problem. I mean, they had the Phantoms history mixed in with the history. Phantoms going into it with having two Calder Cups, a pretty strong team at the time, and the history of hockey in Glen Falls. I don't think this was going to fail. And it hasn't. They've had continuous success, even when the Phantoms were not so great the last couple of years. getting people in the arena. The only really bad thing I think they did was the mascot, but that was for the kids.
Mascot's horrible. Oh, my God, that mascot is terrible.
Dax, radioactive beaver.
Dax, the Bayglo green beaver thing. Oh, he's so bad.
They went from Flex.
So terrible.
Well, now, Flex was the inflection of Philly.
Flex was...
So Flex did not go to Adirondack. Dax, Adirondack.
Yeah. No.
I'm trying.
I know. I was at the the All-Star Game in Hershey a couple of years ago. They always have, not all the mascots, but a huge group of the mascots are gathered together. And in Hershey, each mascot kind of took a couple of the sections and was down at the front of the section, just, you know, hanging out with fans, picking on the kids and doing that kind of thing during the game. And luckily, Dax was in my section. And he heard it nonstop from the Hershey fans.
Yeah, you're probably leading me, Chip.
Actually, I wasn't. They were all over Dax, all over him. And the sad part was the very next section over was Tux, the penguin mascot, you know, for Hershey's, I'd say the bigger rival, even.
The bigger rival.
Only because the Phantoms moved away from Philly. The Wilkes-Barre Penguins mascot was in the other section, and the Hershey Bears fans were paying him no attention. So much hatred was thrown at Dax, the radioactive beaver, whatever. Same difference.
Screw him, too. Screw Justin Bieber.
I do have to say, though, Tux is a fantastic mascot. He was putting on a show and taking it, because he was getting it from that section that he was in, and he was having a great time. The kids were all over him.
Oh, yeah.
Bears fans, Wilkes-Barre fans from other teams. He was really great.
I had no problem with Coco until he lost all that friggin' weight.
Skinny Coco frightens
me. Sucks.
It's just
a dude in a bear's head with regular hockey pads and uniform on.
Yeah.
Coco was a little bit chunky because it was Coco the bear from Hershey. He ate a lot of chocolate. Apparently, we want all the kids getting fat, so we have to have a thin bear now.
Which makes no sense.
Bears are fat, dude! Have you ever seen a picture of a thin bear?
Not that wasn't incredibly sad and had Sarah McLachlan music playing over the top of it. No.
We'll be right back after this. No, I'm just kidding. We will be right back in a second. I just want to say, I'm hoping they just celebrated the 25th anniversary of hockey in Glen Falls.
Yeah, I hope that there's something in the works. I hope that they don't wind up getting used as a bargaining chip for a bunch of teams that have wanted out of their contracts and owners who are looking to move and all this kind of stuff, and they wind up getting played and bargained and made promises to, and then they wind up without a team next year. That would suck, and that's the kind of thing that's happened before. Albany's done it to them before, because the Albany ownership is just horrible.
Well, it's the same team that brought the Devils to Trenton to destroy the Trenton Titans, owned by the Flyers, established
99.
Right before the millennium, was selling out that building.
Yep.
Because it was like the mini Broad Street Bullies. They were winning games, but they got pushed around. They would make it entertaining.
No, they had some great teams in Trenton.
And for some reason, they left. Or did the douchebag from Jersey buy them?
They were, I think the owners, they were getting ready to, they were leaving.
I
don't know the specifics of why, but yeah, New Jersey... Jersey came in and bought the rights for the team, and they made them the Trenton Devils, and they killed that fan base in no time flat. It was amazing.
We went to a game when the Devils were there just to go see a hockey game.
Yeah.
There was 300 people.
Maybe.
Not even.
Maybe. And I'd say 75% of them were in Flyers gear.
Yeah, they're all. I was.
It was people. It was hockey fans were there. They didn't care that it was a Devils farm team. They wanted to go see a hockey game, even though they were Flyers fans.
And I couldn't root for the. I was like, I refused to root for the red and black. Sorry.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. That pretty much sums up what happened to that area.
They killed it. Trenton came back 2 years. They were dead. I think we did go to a Trenton Titans game version 2 against the Solar Bears.
Yeah.
And I think maybe 1,000. There's more people there than there were when they were the Devils.
Definitely more people there. And they worked really hard. They tried. I mean, they were really trying. They had a lot of times the older Flyers players were coming in, doing autograph sessions like on Wednesdays, you know, nights where there normally wouldn't be real high ticket sales anyways. But, they were only willing to stick it out 2 years when they were losing that kind of money. So there's no hockey in Trenton this year.
Thank you. What's his name?
Lamoriello.
Yeah. Good luck with the Devils and the Sixers.
It's amazing that farm system produces the players that they produce, but it is. It's totally like a salt the earth kind of mentality. It's almost like weird mob families fighting. Like they go in and take over a territory, and it's not that they want to make money. They just want to kill it so the Flyers can't have it.
And you're pretty much convinced that that was the reason.
That's totally the reason. They just didn't want the Flyers to have that foothold anymore in the state of Jersey. It's just bizarre.
And below the Trenton line, they still have a foothold, so they did absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the Mason-Dixon line in Jersey. There's Flyer fans south, and there are Devils fans north, and you do not mix the two.
Trenton takes, the NHL makes. It's on the bridge.
The other way around.
No, it was sarcasm.
Oh, gotcha.
Trenton took it and destroyed it.
No.
It was destroyed in Trenton.
It was.
It was so close. Like, it was... The fans left. I'll just drive an extra half hour.
Go see some hockey.
And sucked. Now they go see the monster cam there. Yeah. Little Mystery Man, and we'll be right back here on a Bayville Puck.
We'll be right back. run outside right now and go, listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio! And I want you to scream the whole URL out loud and run back inside before the cops come. If you're sitting at work right now, you're working the night shift, listen to this show, punch somebody in the head and tell them to listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
If you have it on your iPod and you're on the bus, just
smack,
the guy next to you.
Especially if he's a fat son of a gun trying to get on his scooter, just tell him, you better listen to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio or I'm going to pop the tires in your scooter. Tell them that.
That's right. Pop the tires in the scooter. Breaking news, I think the Pens are about to lose to the Panthers. Woohoo! I think there's about 20 people there to see it.
Probably. It'll be one of those things in years down the line. They'll be there. I was there that night. I remember seeing it with my own eyes. The stupid Panthers with their crappy team managed to beat.
Oh, Grandma, stop it. No,
the golden child and the Russian who fell from the ugly tree. And the other one.
I can't think of a Russian.
Knee McKneehead.
Knee McDouche. I don't think of anybody in the NHL from Russia that looks good.
Lundqvist
isn't Russian.
Fedorov was okay, but
Lundqvist is one.
Swedish.
Yeah, he's your favorite.
He's my favorite.
Ladies, look up Henrik Lundqvist and then come back.
You won't.
You won't. You might do the other thing, but not back.
No.
By the way, Mystery Men, their album is available at luchatashrock.com for $9. That was, this is where the magic happens. On
yeah.
Obey the Puck. And this is where the magic happens, right here.
Right here.
Going to get into a couple of NHL things. But first thing, I just want to mention this real quick. Your boy Erat.
Yes.
Is now my hero.
Caps Employee of the Month.
I hate Brian Boyle and everybody on the Rangers because the Rangers decided to beat the crap out of only two teams, Philly and Washington. And it was 4-1. And how many seconds were left when this was happening?
Oh, I have no
idea.
It
was towards the end of the third period, and the puck got played in the corner. Boyle gets knocked down, loses a stick, decides to sit on the puck. So what did Erat do, lady?
The stick between Boyle's legs got pushed really hard, really quick up.
Yes. He speared his nuts.
Yeah.
Thank you, Erat. There's a great, I'm going to tweet it
I
now.
I think you pretty much, that should pretty much do it for his time in Washington. I think the experiment of trying to get him out there and get him some playing time so someone will pick up that wonderful contract of his is pretty much over at this point.
I'm not picking that up. He hits people in the nuts. Oh, no, I would.
Maybe the Rangers will pick him up so
I'd
he can't do
him.
That again.
I would sign him. I'd take him over Coburn any day. He's defense, right? Erat is what position? He's forward.
He's a forward.
He's a...
I don't know. Right. A winger. It doesn't
They've
matter.
Been
I've been so bitter about that.
Erat wants out. Orloff. McPhee needs to go.
Newbie wants out.
Newbie wants out?
Yeah.
You're in trouble if Newbie wants out.
Yeah. The rats are abandoning the ship, and I don't mean that in that they're rat. I just mean...
I don't know how you mention it.
You see the writing on the wall. It's...
Was it Saturday? It was Saturday. Saturday was Hockey Day.
In Canada. Which is cool.
To celebrate, it's a day that's supposed to celebrate the game and how unique it is and how cool it is. And then John Tortorella, quite frankly, had to screw it up. Tortorella, I'm going to reserve my feelings for after we discuss this because I have some audio to play. Yes, Dan did some producing with it. What's his name from Hartley?
Bob
Hartley and the
Calgary Flames.
Thank you, the Flames. I was going to say Canucks and mixed up with the Flames. Decided to start his fourth line. So Tortorella was like, "F that! I'm going to start my fourth line." Now his fourth line has Sistito on it, who is a Philly / Adirondack boy.
Goon.
That's all he's out there for. And basically, it would be like in the middle of a game, you're down a goal, you would stick your fourth line out there for him to specifically start some crap.
Yeah.
And get the mojo going. There hasn't been a minute played. I'm going to play this first part. I'm going to play the first part of the audio. We're going to talk about it for a little bit. And then we're going to play a second part of the audio. Here's the call from Sportsnet Canada. This was supposed to be Hockey Day in Canada, like I said. This is the Canucks. This is the beginning of the Canucks versus the Calgary Flames.
This could be an interesting start. One goal. Kellen Lane, the product of Lake Superior State, making his NHL debut, is going to face off. And it's Westgarth at center ice. So some interesting matchups here. We have Sestito and McGrattan lined up against each other. Kevin Bieksa had come up and had a word with Westgarth a moment ago. And now Bieksa is going to face off against Westgarth. So the defenseman moves up for the Canucks.
Tortorella at the Vancouver bench is already looking at the
Calgary
bench.
And here we go. Line brawl to start this game. Westgarth and Bieksa are separated. Sestito and McGrattan back at the blue line. Torts is angry.
Is he ever? He's looking directly at the Calgary Flames bench.
We got two fights going on. Kevin Bieksa is now with Smead on the near boards, and it's Westgarth and Lane near the Vancouver blue line. Will Sestito and McGrattan go at it near the Calgary blue line? Welcome to the NHL, Kellen Lane.
Handling himself really well, too, considering his opponent.
Lane is 6'6".
McGrattan just got the best of Sestito.
Meantime, back in the Vancouver end, in front of Roberto Luongo, Weiss and Jones are separated. And so you see Tortorella
still going at it.
And the visiting team submits their lineup and their starting five before the home team does. So Bob Hartley would have given his lineup in, and Tortorella obviously saw who he was starting, fourth line, and matched with his fourth line. And here's what that led to right off the opening faceoff.
We haven't seen a brawl like this in a long time at the National Hockey League level.
So that was the line brawl. Everybody basically got into it, save the goaltenders. Now, the whole period, now, you heard in the audio, I did heavy editing on that to kind of keep it not so chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Basically got the announcers saying who was fighting, what was going on. Tortorella is screaming at Hartley. I don't think Hartley looked over. I don't think he looked over once.
He doesn't care. Bro doesn't understand him.
Yes, good. What are your opinions on John Tortorella as a coach, if you were a player?
Oh, well, if I was a player, that's kind of, it doesn't matter.
Is that
an
unfair question?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I've never liked the guy. He's just one of those guys I've hated from the moment I saw him. He looks like Henry Winkler. I call him the Fonz.
He does.
I can't stand him. And seeing him as much as I did when Tampa was in the Southeast, and the same thing every game, he complains all the time about every call, and it's just old. I know he won a cup. The script worked once. I don't understand why these guys keep getting jobs. It's got to be the Stanley Cup on a resume will get you work for the next 20 years, apparently, because I don't see any of the teams he's worked with in the past couple of years responding to his shtick. The Rangers, he destroyed the Rangers. They had that run, and then they just turned on him. They were just sick of it. I mean, they're grown men. They're professionals. If you're gonna,
he treats them like little ADD children. I'm saying the ADD part. That was me. That's how he treats us. Treats the team.
He,
a perfect example was after that Winter Classic. Just one example after many. After the Winter Classic, when the Rangers, the Flyers played, and he just, I don't think he respects a soul. Nor referee, nor owner, nor team owner. I don't understand. If I was his player, be it on the first or the fourth line, I'd tell him to go pound sand. I don't respond that way. I don't know how grown men making that kind of money can. Well, maybe it's the money. Now I'm just going to let him say it. I'm going to let him act like a jackass. He made his team. He made the Canucks look stupid. Both teams made hockey look stupid. There's entertaining, and then you take a night like Hockey Day in Canada, and we're going to beat the crap out of each other. Hope you enjoy it. There was no hockey for the first 10 minutes. 142 penalty minutes were given out in the first 2 seconds of that game. Now, it would have been that would be the end of the discussion if it stopped there. But it didn't, because little man, I bet you on his resume it says, oh, I'm good at penis measuring contests. Because after...
He's the classic short guy. It's just...
I'll try not to take offense to that.
It's old.
After the first intermission. Now, first of all, we got through that first period, no goal. 0-0. And then Tortorella went over to the Flames locker room and tried to get in there and start something. And this is what happened.
Tortorella has gone over to the Calgary Flames hallway outside their room. That's the Canucks coach outside the Calgary room. There's Brian McGrattan trying to push him aside with some of the Calgary staff.
Okay, he's got to calm down.
Yep, Shane O'Brien in the doorway with his gear off. This is outside the Calgary Flames dressing room.
There goes Clint Malarchuk, the goalie coach for the Flames.
Burrows came over to help out his coach as well. And this is not over yet, Kelly. Again, this all started with the opening faceoff of this game when Calgary started their fourth line and the Canucks responded with theirs, and we had a full line brawl.
There's Glenn Gullickson. You can't see him now. He was in the screen, the assistant coach for Vancouver, trying to get John Tortorella out of there.
It's just off camera now, as you mentioned, and it looks like finally cooler heads have prevailed. Well, we have had everything in the first 20 minutes of this one. Except the goal.
So not only did... It would have been a certain level if it kept it on the ice. But then this short little angry man tried to get into the locker room. Now, first of all, you have – I don't like McGrattan as a – you know, he's a goon on an opposing team. He's a bad guy. I don't like him like that. I have nothing – McGrattan's probably the nicest guy. McGrattan is also a big call son bitch. And he was standing between him and Torts and the rest of the locker room. What would he have done if he got in there? Nothing. It was all for show, and it was a terrible show. You made hockey. This goes back to the Flyers Caps. What Emery did made hockey look bad. What this guy did Saturday, personally, think he took hockey back a year or two. Because that's all, and it's getting the publicity that moron Sir Mustache wanted. Everybody's talking about Tortorella, who's out of control.
He made it about him.
It's not about him. He's not a player. He's not a he does not play for that team. He coaches it. If they won a Stanley Cup in Vancouver, it would probably not have anything to do with him the way he coaches the team. Because, to continue what I was saying earlier, that guy was coaching me. He wouldn't motivate me to score a goal. He wouldn't motivate me to start a fight. I'd have to tell him to take a seat. It's like the beginning of the League of Their Own. Tom Hanks, the coach, they just eventually said, get out of here. We'll do it.
That's been the – there's been in – because he coached in the AHL as well. There's been the thought was that often the team comes together against him. And that's how they've had success, is that they hate him so much that they elevate their game and wind up winning the championship, which, you know, I don't know.
His?
I just think the whole deal in the NHL, it doesn't work anymore. At some point, somebody will say, no, we're going to pass on you. We don't want you in charge of our, you know.
He got a job after New York, I don't get. It was obvious. We were talking about it in private before we had a podcast. Every game, they're not responding to that jackass anymore. They're getting worse and worse. And his tirades after the game.
I don't know why Vancouver wanted. Vancouver wanted him to come in and give them a defense. I don't know how they thought that they were going to get the Tortorella defense without sacrificing some of their offense. And that's what's happened.
But here's my...
Anybody wants the Sedins to block shots regularly?
That's the stupidest
thing
I've
really,
ever heard.
That's really a waste of their talent and the huge paycheck you're giving
them.
That's
like putting Crosby on the third line.
It just doesn't make sense.
The big thing about Vancouver is they have not gotten any better since having him on the team. How many years do you give a guy like that to make an improvement on a hockey team that's
Well, I think he has a pretty short shelf life because of that. because he's so abrasive. If it doesn't work quickly, people are like, why are we even bothering? No one likes him. Why are we giving him a second, third, fourth chance?
The big test will be the next 15 games, because right before the show it was announced he was suspended 15 games, without pay. So if you see a bit of a curve in the play the next 15 games, you have a decision to make as an owner. Like,
Canucks, it's on you. Go win 15 straight. Maybe you'll get rid of that jerk.
Please win 15 straight. I'm begging you. If they play us, please kill us. Please just beat the crap out of us and win. Go for it. Just get them out of there. The NHL has an issue. Well, they have many issues. People will say, what? They're making money hand in hand. What are you talking about? Their officiating sucks. It's getting to the point of, pardon me, I'm sorry. It's getting to the point of replacement NFL refs.
No, I don't think that's true.
Well, I'm going to make it as such so they can do something about it before it gets to that point. What were you going to say?
I don't think that's the case. I think they just haven't taken advantage of what they can do now. They've got the replay in place, but there's a really stupid rule that came into play.
Saturday night, it was 3-2.
I believe so, yes, 3-2. Less than a minute to go, or less than 2 minutes to go, something like that.
Detroit.
Kings, L.A.
L.A.'s on top.
Yep. Trying to finish out the game.
There's 20-some-odd seconds left. And the puck is shot. I'm going to play audio for this because I cleaned it up to where you can understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Puck is shot, bounces off.
The shot's blocked.
Shot's blocked up into the net.
Way up.
Way, way clear as day. A blind person went, that was out of play. Bounced off the net, was it quick?
Yeah, back of quick.
Right off the back of quick, into the net, and they counted that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally, 99.99999999% of the time, that puck hits the net, whistle's blown. How there was no...
I think it was one of those long pop-ups. It just, people just lost track of it. It went up in the air, and they didn't see it. When it hit the net, it was one of those, it went up in the air and someone must have thought it landed somewhere. One of those things where you start looking around because it's got to be somewhere. No, it was up, bouncing off the net.
I'm going to play the audio and then I'm going to my main question about the whole thing. This is about a minute long. We'll be right back.
Cronwall, got a break there. Eves gives him the puck back. Zetterberg, Cronwall. The stick of stole up high. Oh boy,
it's in the
oh
net.
It's in the net. But wait a minute. This puck, I think. Boy, there's going to be a dispute about this one. The Red Wings think they tied the game. Did it stay in play? LA says it hit the net and out of play. The referees at the moment are saying no, it didn't.
There's the block by Stoll.
Watch the puck top of the screen.
Oh, yeah, way up there. Way, way up there. I mean,
like, did one of the referees on the stuff there?
I see it. Right in the middle, right there. There's the puck. And there's your glass right there. It comes down off of here and hits him right in the back and goes in the net, if you can imagine that.
Remember when San Jose scored in here, was it?
Yeah.
5 years ago or so, down to our right?
They didn't catch it.
The big goal didn't catch it. Well, they may not catch this one. It's not a reviewable goal.
You've got to be kidding
It's
me.
Not a reviewable
oh
goal.
God, really?
It's like goaltender interference isn't reviewable. That's a
well,
goal, but not a reviewable play
well,
if the puck is out of play and nobody caught it.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, that's where you lose me. I don't understand. I've watched this backwards and forwards. Admittedly, I'm not an NHL official. A cool faker. I like to think when it comes to a lot of things, you could question my opinion. You can question my opinion anytime you want. I mean, let's not get, you know, ridiculous. But in hockey and certain other things, I like to think 90% of the time I know what I'm talking about. This one's has me baffled. It's got me baffled.
Baffled.
I don't understand why that was not reviewable.
Yeah, they review goals. Every goal in the NHL is reviewed immediately. It doesn't. There's no. It doesn't have to be challenged. It doesn't have to be questionable or close. Every goal is reviewed. So that was called a goal. The call on the ice was a goal. So the rule in the NHL, if it's called on the ice, there has to be, you know, clear evidence to the contrary to overrule the ruling on the ice. But apparently the video review cannot be used to determine if a puck went out of play. So you can't combine the replay powers. There's something in the rule book that stops you. So the goal went in. The fact that the puck bounced in the protective netting behind the goal was not reviewable, despite it being the determining factor in the fact that the puck winds up in the goal. So, you know, there you go. It's a logic problem. Hopefully the NHL gets rid of that right away so that doesn't happen.
There should have been a meeting today to fix this. Today. It's 2 days later. Now, it would have been okay if Detroit, L.A. went on to win this game.
No. Yeah.
What makes it worse is they lost in a shootout, correct?
Yeah.
They lost in a friggin' shootout! Ooh, I'm going to get to that in a second. It would have been okay if it went the other way. But no, that was basically what turned it around. Went through overtime, went through shootout, Detroit beat him. That's a problem. You can't have that happen.
LA loses a point in the West, which they should have had. And in the West, that's
huge.
Gold. That's gold in the West because it's insanely tight in the West.
Oh, I couldn't believe, like, when we were seeing about it, because we were out visiting your parents, and the internet's not great. So I was like, I gotta see this. And I didn't see it until I brought up the article when we got home. It's like by a mile, by 4 miles.
Why in the world the call couldn't have been reversed? The puck went out of play. You look at the clock. You do what you do normally when the puck goes out of play. Drop the puck and start up. Yeah.
Whistle.
Yeah,
blows.
Whistle.
There should
stop.
Have been enough.
There's a face-off.
There should not have been enough time for them to go, did it bounce off his back? It should have. The referee out by the line should have seen that. It's on replay, him going, hey, I see it. So we're going to leave that one up to you folks. I think Detroit got LA got royally screwed on that one. I mean, good for Detroit. I mean, that was a lucky bounce. You have lucky bounces in hockey. Holy crap.
I think they could use that. They've been having a rough season. They were supposed to come over and dominate the pitiful East, and I think they're kind of in the middle with everybody. They've been working hard to try to recapture some of that Red Wing magic.
That is going to, I think, do it for this week. There is one story that's going to carry over to the next episode, so listen for that. You can follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show or go to the Totally Interactive group page at facebook.com/group/obeythepuck. If you have a story you want to talk about, post it on that site or call us while we're live. I think that's it. You got anything else?
Nope.
Just this weekend is the Stadium Series. So if anybody who's listening who wants an opinion on it, watch them, comment on the Facebook page, and I will use it. If you have an email you'd like to send us, obeypuckshow@comcast.net. For the very, very metal angry spatula, I am the above average comedian, Daniel Colacico. We will see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye.